In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst. I remember that years ago, back when we were at Haskell and Swiss in the church there, and I was leading one of the church tours. We were every hour on the hour, and the first 30 minutes or so of the tour, there was an explanation that we would give about our faith. And then the last 30 minutes of the tour were question and answer. Didn't have all the different things that we do now. It was just simply a lecture and then question and answer. And I remember one of the questions that I would get quite frequently is, as Orthodox Christians or as Greek Orthodox or as Orthodox or whatever people would say, how would you describe the God that you say you believe in? Well, I'm not sure that I would answer that to their liking necessarily, but I thought about that moment when I was preparing for the sermon today. And so I ask us here today, how would we describe God? In today's gospel from the 13th Sunday of Matthew that we heard earlier today, and I ask that you look in your bulletin and read that again if you will, we are provided with some good answers that tell us who God is and what He is like. And I'm basing this, or I'm referring largely to one of the many sermonettes, or one of the many Bible studies, rather, that Father Anthony Conieris prepares in one of his books, one of his many books, Gems from the Sunday Gospels. And in there, he enumerates five attributes of God: love, generosity, trust, patience, and judgment. Love, generosity, trust, patience, and judgment. Now, from patristic interpretations, and we've hopefully heard this many times before, we understand in this parable that is related today in the gospel message that the owner of the vineyard represents God. The vine dressers represent the people of Israel, at least in that time when it was recited. And by the way, the parable that's recited is referring back to the book of Isaiah, the chapter 5, the first 4 or 5 verses or so of Isaiah references, or rather this references the first 4 or 5 verses of chapter 5 of Isaiah about the vineyard and the vine dresser. So the vine dressers represent the people of Israel. The servants represent the prophets, and the landowner's son represents Jesus Christ. So the first attribute of God related in this parable is love. The vineyard itself represents paradise, the kingdom of heaven. God has given it to us because He loves us. He wants us to be joyful and contented in this vineyard. He wants to take care of us. By showing us His love, God wants us to love Him, and He wants us to love each other. God sent His prophets to the Israelites to tell them and to show them how to love God and how to love each other. So when the Jewish nation forgot about God and perverted their love for Him and for each other, the prophets, the many of them, came and reminded the Jewish nation about God and His love. The second attribute is His generosity. The vineyard was not a wilderness. It was not untended, as we heard. It was already planted. It was already prepared. It was already equipped with everything necessary to make the work of the vine dressers easy and profitable. The hedge, the wine press, the tower, all those were already there. They were already built for the workers before they even began their labors. The third attribute of God is His trust, because the landowner, as you heard, goes far away into another country. He does not micromanage the operation right there, but He lets the vine dressers run the vineyard as they wish. He doesn't even come back periodically to check in to see how they are going at the vineyard. Rather, he sends his servants to collect the rent after each harvest. The fourth attribute of God is his patience. How many times did the landowner send his servants, and each time they were treated poorly? It says in the gospel that the vine dressers beat one, killed one, and stoned another. It would be understandable if the owner had thrown them out after the first problem, after the first event with one of his servants. Yet he keeps sending them time and time again. And finally, he sends his own son, hoping that they will listen and respect him. Now I say to you, that's patience. The fifth attribute of God is judgment. God is love. God is generous. God is trusting. And God is patient. However, there will come a time when there will be consequences. Jesus asks his listeners at the end of the parable in verse 40. He says, "Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers?" They said to him, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits of their which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." My friends, we can never, ever grow and mature in our relationship with God and with each other until we begin to see ourselves in these parables of Christ, and especially this parable today. We Orthodox Christians are the new Israel. We are the vine dressers. God, because he loves us, has given us his vineyard as the church, the kingdom of heaven on earth, as we heard it described, to enjoy all of its beauty and all of its glory. God is generous to each and every one of us. Everything we have, whatever it is, whether we realize it or not, is ultimately from him. He would not ask us as Christians to love each other, to preach the gospel, to teach his commandments, and to minister to the sick and the brokenhearted, the poor and the indigent, if he had not given us the means to do it. Our time, our talents, our treasures, our gifts, our money, everything we have was given to us in one form or another by God. He wants us, though, to use them in service to each other for his glory. So he has entrusted us. He is with this ministry of the church personally and communally. He doesn't force us to do his will. He doesn't orchestrate our lives, because he knows that love forced is no love at all. Love implies free will. So God trusts us, but he still desires. He even expects us to love, to teach, to preach, to heal, to minister, to love. To love one another. To love him. We fall short of his expectations. Each of us, nor destroyed us. He keeps sending his servants time and time again. He keeps sending the prophets, the saints, the bishops, the priests, spiritually wise and discerning men and women, remind us of our true calling to be also his servants. The people that God sends us also instruct us and demonstrate to us how to love, how to preach, how to teach, and how to heal. His servants also show us how to repent and confess when we have fallen, so that we do not punish and destroy ourselves with the consequences of our own sins. So we must ask ourselves, how am I treating the servants that God has sent to me in my life? Do we listen and obey? Or do we beat, stone, or even kill them? Or do we simply ignore them and keep doing our own thing in our lives? Finally, God judges us, not like an angry, wrathful, power-hungry tyrant, but rather a loving, generous, trustful, and patient parent. You see, it's these very attributes of God that become a mirror in front of us, exposing the lack of them thereof in ourselves. What we see in the mirror is not God in this instance, it is ourselves. The key is to judge ourselves and repent and change instead of projecting back onto God and each other our own lack of love, generosity, trust, and patience. Jesus says that the great task given to the Israelites will be taken away from them and given to another people, which is a prophecy of the Gentile Christian community. However, and this is the message of the parable, however, God will do the same to us as Christians here today if we do not bear fruit in His vineyard. We cannot be like the vine dressers in the parable who try to take it over and forget the owner. As Father Conieres said, we cannot receive the gifts and forget the giver. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let all of us, clergy and laity, avoid the ungratefulness of the old tenets. Let us avoid the hardening of their hearts. Let us instead repeat and proclaim with gratitude the final words of the gospel message today. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Amen.